Welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. It's Fun Month at TC, and today's message is brought to you by our creative pastor, Charles Metcalf. So from wherever you're listening, we hope you're encouraged by this week's message.
Are you excited to hear the word today? All right. Today, I'm excited because I believe this message is something that God wants to, like, teach us. Now, if you don't know, there are some messages where people just preach. Like, it's like, they're just, like, real deep in their voice. I can't do that. When I get excited, my voice gets higher, and so it's not good. But there are preaching messages, and then there are teaching messages. And those are things that God really wants to teach us and shift things in our heart that maybe have been a certain way for a really long time. But he's trying to teach us something, because if he can teach us something, then it'll change the course of our life. I heard somebody say one time, if you want to learn from someone, don't ask them what they do, ask them how they think. Because you can't always do what someone else does. What they do won't always work for you. How they do it won't always work for you. But if you learn their thinking, if you learn why they do what they do, if you know why they invest that type of way, or if you know why they do it, if you understand how they think, your doing will always follow your thinking. So today, I believe God really wants to change something in our thinking about how we see him, how we see his word. And really, I want to talk around the subject of peace. Everybody say peace. Now, how many of you could use some peace in your life? You could use some peace. I think peace is something that we all want. It's something that we hear a lot about. But I really believe that God wants to give revelation today, or some practical steps on how we can get peace in our life. And so if you were with us a couple weeks ago, we in Philippians, we're going to go back to Philippians 4. So if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn there with me. If you don't have your Bibles, we have the giant ones on the screen. That'll come up. But Philippians 4, a little context. This is one of four books of the Bible that Paul, previously known as Saul, who was a murderer of Christians. Yes, the Bible you are reading, parts of it were written by a murderer. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. But he was murdering Christian. God meets him, changes his life, and he goes crazy for Jesus. Starts preaching the gospel everywhere, and people don't like it, so they put him in jail. And there are four books of your Bible that Paul wrote from jail, one of them being Philippians. And so we're going to be in Philippians today, and really just a couple verses up, if you were with us a little bit ago, where we talked about finding contentment in our situation, we're going to just be literally the paragraph right above that. So in Philippians 4, verse 4 is where we're going to be, and I really believe that this is going to help us today. So this is what the Bible says. It says, always be joyful, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. The Lord is coming soon. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Everybody say anything. Pray about everything. Everybody say everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he has done. Thank him for all he has done. Verse 7, you may have heard this verse before. It says, then you will experience God's peace. How many of you know we don't need peace from anybody else? We don't need peace from our jobs. We can't find peace in our spouse. We can't find peace in anything else. It says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. And his peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The title of my message today, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down, is The Instruction Manual for Peace. The Instruction Manual for Peace. And I have a little subtitle just because it's more fun for me that way. Some Assembly Required. The Instruction Manual for Peace. Some Assembly Required. Can we take a moment and pray real quick before we jump into today? Lord God, we take a moment just to say thank you. Thank you for how good you've been. Thank you for everything you've done in our lives, Lord Jesus. Thank you for how you've blessed us, how you've sustained us. Lord, I pray today, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, we don't want just a talk. We don't want to just get in a building on a rainy day. Lord, we want Jesus. We want to experience with you. So right now, Lord, I thank you that it's not me speaking, but you speaking through me, Lord God. I pray that these moments would literally change us and we would encounter you. It's in Jesus' name. Everybody said, Amen. Have you ever moved before? Anybody in here ever moved like from one house to another? Anybody? Two people. This is great. I've moved a couple times. Growing up, when I graduated high school, I had actually moved 23 different times. We didn't even unbox stuff. We just left it in boxes and then just moved to the next place. But we moved a lot growing up, and I've noticed that now it's something that I do. Me and my wife, we've been married for two years. Yeah. And we've moved three times. It's just, every once in a while, we're like, time's up. I think it's time to go. And so we just recently moved. And anytime you move, you're getting rid of some stuff. And you ever have that moment where you're just tired and you're just like, I will pay anyone to just take all of this junk and throw it in the trash. Well, I reached that point pretty fast. And anytime you move, there's a point where sometimes things that you had don't work in the new place. And so we just recently moved. And I found myself last week putting together some furniture. Now, you could probably tell about how handy of a man that I am just by these white socks and penny loafers I have on. Yes, I'm pretty handy. No, not at all. I'm not handy. My dad's not handy. His dad was not handy. It's just not a thing. But I found myself putting together some furniture, and you've seen this before, whether it's from IKEA or Target. Let's say you have a dresser or something. It comes in a box that's about this big, and there's about 68 pieces of wood, 3,242 screws, 72 bolts, 38 washers, and 3 pieces of paper that are in Chinese, and the English instructions seem to be a lot shorter than all of the other instructions. And I was putting together some of this furniture. And now when I first started putting together this, I've put together a couple of these pieces. I'm pretty experienced in IKEA furniture putting together. And I would usually just look at the picture because I feel like, you know, this is pretty basic. It's just like a little square thing, got one shelf. I can usually do this. So instead of looking at the manual, I would just look at the picture. And then you always end up where you have like 12 screws left. And it's like, guess those are extras. We'll just throw those out. Dad never needed those. But as I started learning and as I got older, I realized it's very important that you follow the instructions. It's really important. And it's really important that you follow them in order. I remember one time I was putting together these drawers and I got it all done. And I remember I had kind of skipped one portion of it because it didn't really make sense. And I got it and I was like, perfect. And I set it all up and I put my TV on it. And then I went to open the drawers and they were upside down. I pulled them out and I was like, yes. And the bottom was up here and it was open from the bottom. I was like, nah, it's fine. I just put stuff in there. I wasn't married yet, so it didn't matter. But you know, I think in our life, when it comes to peace, we see what peace looks like. Like we have a picture of what peace looks like. We have a picture of in our mind. If we were at peace, this is what it would look like. And I think sometimes we can look at peace and we don't always follow the instructions that God set out for us exactly, maybe how his word says. Here's what I mean. I think there's a specific instruction manual found in Philippians for us to have peace in our life. And sometimes it's hard for us to follow maybe those instructions, maybe because we haven't heard them or because we haven't really read deep into our Bible. But I really believe today that if we will follow this specific instruction manual, if we will put the certain pieces together in the right order, that we will be able to experience the peace of God that surpasses our ability to understand. There are things in your life that you need to come to grips with that you may not understand. If you've been alive for more than 2 seconds, you know there are moments that happen where you don't understand why this is happening. There are moments in your marriage where you don't understand. We said these vows and we promised our life together, but it doesn't look like the wedding day. There are days where you don't understand why you said you were going to have this perfect little family, but then you get a doctor's report about one of your children and everything seems to be going on. There are things we may not understand. But what you need to know is there is a peace that surpasses your ability to understand. There's a peace that is greater than what you see in front of me. There's a peace that surpasses all of our understanding, and it's God's peace. So the million-dollar question is, how do we get this peace? Like, if it goes beyond our ability to understand, if it gives us some sort of anchor when everything seems to be crashing around us, how do we receive this peace? Well, in Philippians 4, I really believe that there's a specific instruction manual to this, and I want you to track with me. Like I said, this is a teaching message, so I'm going to kind of preach this message backwards. Now you're saying, Charles, what do you mean? Verse 7 of the scripture that we just read, it says, then God's peace, which surpasses your ability to understand, will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. That is the promise that God has given us. He's promised us his peace. But in there, it says, then the peace of God. Before that, I believe in the scriptures before, in verse 6, 5, and 4, there are specific instructions on how we get that peace. So I'm going to start with number 3, and we're going to kind of work backwards and figure out how can we obtain the peace of God. So we're going to look in verse 6. It says this in verse 6. You've probably heard this one before. Step number 1, if you want to find and put together the instruction manual for peace, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. This is going to, again, I'm preaching it backwards. So point number 3, we're going to end with point number 1. Point number 3, don't worry. Tell God what you need and thank him. How are we going to have peace in our life? How are we going to experience a peace that guards our heart, mind, and soul? Don't worry. Tell God what you need and thank him. Now, this word, again, it's written by Paul, and he's talking to a church in Philippi. And this church was surrounded by a lot of persecution. A lot of people didn't like what they were doing. And so in this, Paul is kind of writing the book from this father perspective, and he's not really asking them. Like, he's not like, hey, here are some suggestions. Paul is in the later part of his life, and he's commanding them. He's saying, hey, I've done this for a while. I've been shipwrecked. I've been beaten. I'm in jail. Listen, if you want peace, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. It says, tell God what you need. I think sometimes the reason we can't find peace in our life is it says, talk to God, tell him what you need. A lot of times we talk to everybody else but God about what we need. I mean, think about it. I've done it in my own life. When I don't have peace, is the first person I go to is God, or is the first person I go to another person in my circle? I'm not saying that's bad. You need. We just talked about B groups. It's a place where you can belong and have people to talk to you and grow in. But who do you talk to more about your problems? Your friends or your creator? I'm just saying, if we want to find peace in our life, we have to look at our life. Who are we talking to about what we're going through? Verse 6 in the Message version, it says this. It says, don't fret or worry. Instead, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayer, letting God knowing your needs. Here's the thing. We just can't talk to our friends more than we talk to God about what's going on. We can't talk to Facebook about what's going on more than we talk to God about what's going on. We can't talk to anything else more than we talk to God. It says, tell God what you need. I think sometimes we make prayer this big. You know, I remember being a kid and you would hear adults' prayer and it was like, man, that's really deep. Like, I would be like, dear heavenly holy Father above in the sky with your glorious majesty, majesticness of this, thus God. Like, what? God's saying, hey, if you don't have peace, just tell me what you need. Listen, I want to encourage you this week. When you don't have peace, just tell God what you need. When you're worrying about how to make the decision in parenting, just say, hey, God, I've never done this before. Could you help me? When you're worrying about how am I going to make this business deal? I've never been here before. It doesn't have to be some big special thing. It just says, tell God what you need. And then on the end of that, it says, and thank him for what he's already done. Man. I think there's a peace that we could find if we could just take time to say, God, here's what I need. But even if you don't give it to me, let's take some time to say thank you for what you've already done. Man, spend some time this week writing down what God has already done. Like write down, what has God already done in your life? What has God already done in your marriage? What has God already done in your business? What has he already done? And if we can focus on what he's already done, I think there would be something that starts to settle on the inside of us, knowing that if he's done it before, he'll probably do it again. The instruction manual for peace, some assembly required. Don't worry. Talk to God. Tell him what you need and thank him for what he's already done. Now, this is pretty clear because a lot of times when we talk about peace, this is the verse we go to. Verse 6, don't worry, but in anything, pray about everything to God, tell him what you need and thank him. But again, we have to read our Bible in full. Sometimes it's easy to take one scripture, you pull it out, and you base your entire theology on that. Only problem is we have to have context. All scripture has context, meaning it's written in a certain time by a certain person, and we have to read it in full. So if you read the scripture in full, it's not done yet. Before it, if we go back, so we were just in verse 6, if we go up to verse 5, it says, it just told us in verse 6, talk to God, tell him what you need. But before it said that, came verse 5. And this is what verse 5 says. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. I want to read it in the Message version. So before verse 6, when it says pray about everything, this is what it says before that. It says, before you pray, make it clear that you can to everyone you meet that you're on their side, working with them, not against them. Let them see that the Master is about to arrive. We have to read scripture in full context because it doesn't say just pray. Before you pray, let people know that you're on their side. Before you pray, let people know. Now hear me, this isn't saying, should I not pray? No, prayer changes things. There is power in prayer. We have prayer at the end of every single service. But if you read this scripture, there are things that come before that. And one of them, write this down, make your life about other people. I think that this is a key ingredient because it's saying, hey, if you want to have peace, if you would get outside of yourself and focus on what other people are going through, maybe it wouldn't seem that big of a deal. It says this, it says, make it clear as you can that you're on their side, working with them, not against them. Man, see, this is stuff where it's like, ugh. I'd rather just sit in my closet and not talk to anybody and just pray about it. But he says, before you do that, if you could just make it clear to everybody else that you're for them and not against them. Now, I believe he's saying this because Paul knows Christians. He knows that on Sunday, we're shouting it down, we're singing, we post it on our Instagram. On Monday, we may read our scripture. But on Tuesday, when something goes wrong, we're not for everybody. Our world starts to get a lot smaller the further we get away from Sunday. We start to focus on what's going on in our life. We start to focus on how it hurts us. And there are real things that we're going through. There is real pain in this room. All this verse is saying is, if you want to find peace, if you would start to put your focus on other people, you wouldn't seem so caught up in yourself. And listen, this is just an example of Jesus' life. That scripture, when it talks about making your life about other people and letting them know that you're for there, the Greek word that is used, it's a word talking about gentleness, about caring for other people. You know, another time that same Greek word is used is when Jesus meets the woman who's caught in adultery. I think Jesus had peace because his life was really focused on other people. If you don't know that story, there's a story where the Pharisees, the Christian religious rulers of the day, they catch a woman in adultery and they throw her in front of Jesus. They say, Jesus, what are you going to do? Look, she was doing this bad thing. It says Jesus kneeled down in the sand and he talked to him. He says, yeah, whoever is without sin, you can throw the first stone. And they slowly walk away and Jesus stands up. He says, go and sin no more. I think our lives should look like that if we want to find peace. And what does it look like to cover people? What does it look like to be an advocate for people, not an accuser? How easy is it for us when we don't have peace, when we don't have security, when we get scared, when we get afraid, how often do we start accusing other people? How often is it their fault that we're going through this? How often is it, well, if they just would have been there for me and if they just would have done that, then I could have peace, but it's your fault. This says, listen, make it clear to everybody that you're for them and not against them. I say this all the time, but one of the most powerful things that can ever be said in a belong group is me too. You're in a belong group, you're talking about maybe the peace you don't have, you're talking about the struggle that you're facing, and someone else says, oh yeah, I'm actually going through that too. Man, I think there could be some power and some peace that is found in our lives if we could take a moment to get outside of ourselves and say, man, what else is going on outside of me? I remember me and my wife, we were traveling to, I believe it was North Carolina to see my parents, and we were on this flight, and the flight had got delayed. And no doubt when a flight gets delayed, all Christianity goes out the window and everybody starts freaking out. And so we were frustrated and we had literally been sitting in the plane on the runway for 3 hours. And they said, if you exit the plane, you can't get back on the plane. Which is like, is this illegal? Like, I feel like you can't do that. If you get off, you can't get back on. It's like some weird show. I don't know. But they say, if you get off, you can't get back on. And so people started to get frustrated. There's babies, there's people are starting to cry, they're giving us, you know, the little tiny peanuts. It's great when you're on a 2-hour flight, but when you've been sitting on a hot plane for 3 hours, you just take them and throw them back at the lady, like, I don't want these. But we're sitting there, and I remember I was getting frustrated. I was like, dang, we were supposed to go see my family, and I started to get, man, we're late now, we're going to miss this other connecting flight, and then we were supposed to go out with them, and all these things started building up, and there was this lady behind us. And I was thinking all these things, but since I'm a man of God, I wasn't saying all these things. You know, I'm pretty decent. But there was a lady behind me that started to get really mad. And her voice started to get louder and louder. And she was kind of talking. You know when people are really mad and they're talking to themselves kind of, but really they just want you to know how mad they are? She was doing that. And she said, I can't believe this. This is ridiculous. These people are supposed to be flying planes and they can't do it. And she's going, oh, and her voice is getting louder and louder. And I'm like, somebody needs to get some handcuffs. This lady is about to go crazy. Like, I'm literally like, and then there's a part in me that starts to judge her. I was thinking, man, it's just a plan. Like, I'm upset, but we're all here. Like, if you would just calm down, like, chill out. Like, she starts yelling at the reception. Like, it just gets really out of hand. And then all of a sudden she says, my son is in heart surgery right now and I'm supposed to be there. And in a moment I was like, oh. Man, that completely shifted once I took a moment to realize what she was going through. My frustration about going to dinner with my family wasn't that big of a deal when I realized there was someone else going through something. I promise you, there are some things that are in your life that are big right now, but there are some people on your road that are going through some other things as well. And if we could just take a moment to back up and say, you know what? God's got me before. He's done things in my life. But let me just take a moment to look around and see in my hurt, who can I help at the same time? What can my pain, how can it encourage people? How can my struggle encourage other people? Instruction manual to peace, some assembly required. Said, don't worry. Tell God what you need. Thank him for what he's done. But before you do that, make it clear to everyone that you're on their side. Let them know that you're for them and not against them. And so if we start to look at this, it starts to become kind of clear, okay, we're finding a path to peace. That's really what we're all looking for. In your job, in the American dream, in the big house, in all those things, we're looking for peace. We're looking for a settledness that isn't controlled or isn't up and down based on what we're going through. And it says, hey, when you don't have peace, if you're anxious, talk to God. If you're anxious, get outside of yourself for a moment. Look around you and see what's going on. But there's something that comes before both of those that is so important to our peace. So get this, before you pray, before you get outside of yourself, it says this, celebrate God all day, every day. Always be full of joy. Again, I say it, rejoice. Man, this scripture, again, we have to read it in context. It starts off by saying, celebrate God. You want to have peace? Celebrate God. You want to know how to get through that situation? Celebrate God. See, this is hard for you to clap because you didn't think celebration was spiritual. You didn't think having fun was spiritual. You thought this whole thing of fun month was just because we were bored and we needed something to do in July. This is spiritual. It says if you want to find peace, start with celebrating God. I want to present to you today that one of the most spiritual things you could do is not just pray, is not just fast, is not just read your Bible more. One of the most spiritual things you could do is enjoy God. Man, see, this is hard. Some of you still don't like it because it's not super deep. And people be like, "What? Why are you so happy?" Well, it's actually one of the most spiritual things I could do. Paul, writing from jail, he said, if you want to have peace, it's good to pray. It's good to get outside of yourself. But let's back up. Before we do all of that, let's just take some time to celebrate God. See, this is so powerful and it's so freeing to so many people. Because you thought that you had to be super, super spiritual when you went through hard stuff. You had to start saying all these deep prayers. You had to start doing other things. It says if you could just pause for a moment and just celebrate God. Wow. What is that like to just in the middle of a storm, instead of talking how upset you are, instead of being so frustrated, if you could just stop. And it says celebrate God all day, every day. Now, Paul, in this, he's not suggesting to them. He's saying, no, rejoice, like always be full of joy. Like you, not like a choice, not like sometimes when you feel it, not when they're treating you right, not when they acknowledged you, not when they liked your picture, not when they said you were cool, not when everything's right, not when you have a lot of money. Just bottom line, celebrate God, rejoice all day, every day. I was like, Paul, how can you say that? Like you're in jail and he's talking about, hey, when you wake up, just throw a party of who God is. When you wake up, just be glad about who God is. And I think we would be surprised how impactful our joy and happiness would be in people's lives. You know, sometimes people don't need a big prayer from you. They just need you to smile and say, hope you're having a good day. You know, one of the most evangelistic things you could do is maybe smile at somebody when they're walking by. One of the most evangelistic things you could do is be happy when things aren't going great. One of the most spiritual things you could do is celebrate God. Man, this is so, so important because I think in this, what we're doing when you celebrate God, it's taking a moment to put God in his rightful spot. It's taking a moment, and in that scripture it says, celebrate God. I mean, revel in him. Hallelujah. You know, as I think about this, and as I'm thinking about this part of the story and in the scripture, I think of, man, how do you celebrate God in really hard times? Because it's easy to get up here and say, hey, you just need to be happy about it. But you've been struggling with the same thing for 5, 6, 7 years, and you've done your praying, and you serve at church, and you just sang the worship song, had your hands lifted, but it still feels like you're going through the same thing. If I'm honest, I start to ask myself, God, okay, this sounds great, and I really want to do it. That's the thing. I don't think we don't inherently just choose to do the wrong thing or choose to be bad or mean people, but life just starts to pile up. And after a while, it's like, I want to celebrate God, but I don't know how to celebrate God. What I want you to know is one of the most powerful things God gave you, he gave you his Holy Spirit. He gave you his presence with him. But I really believe that in order for us to experience peace in this, we got to choose to celebrate God. You see, someone can take away, or you can't maybe control your options, but you can always control your choice. You can always control your response to something. And I really believe that there are moments in your life, there are moments I know that have been in my life where I didn't feel like celebrating, where I didn't feel like being excited, where I didn't feel like everything was going to be okay, but I had to make a choice. I really believe that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be able to make a choice to say, I choose to celebrate God regardless of if things are good, regardless of if things are bad. I choose to celebrate it. And the amazing thing is, I want to go back over this and I'll read the points in order. And this is what it says. It says, okay, the first thing you need to do is celebrate God. If you're going through something, if you're anxious, if you're worried, celebrate God. After that, you need to make sure people know that you're for them and not against them. After you do that, don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And this is where it's so, so good. It says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you understand. This is the key right here, and this is what I believe God wants for every single one of us. His peace will guard your heart and your mind. I want you to write this down. God's peace protects you. God's peace protects. His peace, it says, it will guard your heart and your mind. I really believe for so many of us that the biggest struggle that we're facing, it's in our heart and our mind. If people could see the things that you've thought. People could see the things that you're feeling about your situation. If people could see the thoughts that you have that nobody else sees, that nobody else hears. It says when you do all of these things, when you celebrate God, when you get outside of yourself, when you start praying anything, I will send a peace that will protect your heart. I will send a peace that will protect your mind. And what happens is, I need an example. I need somebody. DeMario, come up here real quick. What happens is there are things in your life that try to come against you. So this is DeMario. He represents all of you. And I'm making up this example as I go, so I haven't fully thought it out yet. So we'll see how it goes. I need somebody else to come up here. Abby, come up here. What happens is, actually, I'm going to protect my wife. You're going to be the bad guy. There are things that try to come against you, so try to come against me. But peace stands in the middle and says, I protect you. So here's what happens. I want you to watch this. As things come after your thoughts, when you celebrate God, when you make your life about other people, when you pray about it, as things come against your thoughts, peace says, no, you can't have it. As you come against your mind, it says, no, you can't have it. As things come against your heart, it says, no, you can't have it. God's peace protects you. And I want you to get this picture in your mind that God, if you will get in front of him, if you will celebrate him, his peace will stand in front of you and guard every situation in your life. You need to realize, thank you guys, thank you so much. You need to understand that because I think sometimes we don't see peace, how strong it really is. When we celebrate God, when we make our life about other people and we pray about it, he says, my peace starts to protect you. It says, no, you can't have their joy. No, you can't. You're not going to send those thoughts. No, you can't have. You're not going to live in fear like that. God's peace will protect you. Here's the thing. I think we all have the picture of what peace looks in our mind, but God gives us a clear picture of what it looks like. He says, I want to give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. I want to give you a peace that when things aren't going right, when things aren't going well, it's all okay. Something settled on the other side of things. And as you pray about things, as you make your life about other people, but as you celebrate God, that's what I came to tell you this morning. Celebrate God. If you want more peace, celebrate God. If you want to have settledness in your soul, celebrate God. If you have an anchor for anything you're going through, celebrate God. Celebrate God all day, every day. So my heart is really that, and I truly believe this, and I don't know if Armand, you're up here, Keys can go ahead and start playing. We're about to close out service, but I really believe that this Fun Month was so, so important for some of you. That this was more than a couple dress-up days. This was more than a couple of games. This was more than than an old school, new school basketball game. This was more than Laugh Out Loud Sunday. This is one of the most spiritual things, and this is one of the biggest markers in your life. And there are some of you that through this month, you've maybe start to realize some things. You've started realizing that maybe what you're going through is going to be okay. And I know there are people, I can feel it right now. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit. There are people that you've started, things have started kind of going your way and you feel lighter and you're trying to figure out what it is. Maybe there's a strength that's encouraged you. Maybe there's something that's anchored you that thought, you know what? Maybe it's going to work out. Maybe I'll be okay. Maybe God's got you. Can I tell you, it's you celebrating God? I really believe some of you, this is a marker in your life. You'll be able to look at that when I calmed down and when I just laughed, when I just took a moment to say, you know what? I choose to enjoy this. I choose to enjoy the process. I choose to enjoy where God has me at right now. I choose to be content with my situation. Can I tell you, when you choose those things, that chains that have held you for so long, they start to fall off. And there are some of you in this room that there are some things that have been holding you and you've tried everything. I want to encourage you, just try celebrating God for a moment. Try thinking about all the things that he's done in your life. Try making your life about other people. Try it for a moment, because it says, hey, if you'll celebrate me, if you'll make your life about other people, and if you just don't worry, if you tell me what you need, thank me for what I've already done, there will be a peace that surpasses your ability to understand. There are a lot of things that I don't understand. There are a lot of things that I've yet to go through. But what I do know is I'm going to choose to celebrate God. I'm going to choose to make my life about other people. I'm going to choose to not worry about anything, but I'm going to pray about everything. I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to tell him what I need. And all of a sudden, people will look at your life and say, wow, you just have so much peace. It seems like that they talked to you a certain way and there was something. It wasn't even you that was acting that way. You just had something anchored. You can tell them, well, you see, God's peace, it protects me. God's peace, it keeps me from things that I shouldn't go to. God's peace, it keeps me from saying things that maybe I shouldn't say. It keeps me from doing things that I would have done before I started celebrating God, before I started serving other people, before I started praying about things. God's peace started protecting me. My heart is that you realize is that God's peace, it wants to protect you. It wants to cover your mind. It wants to cover those thoughts that you think all the time, that feeling that you have, that hurt that you have. God's peace wants to protect you. But it's going to start with you celebrating him. Listen, we don't want fun month or you enjoying church or enjoying God to stop at the end of July. The heart of this isn't to be a month of fun and then it goes away and we get back to serious, real scripture and then we'll get back to real church after July's over. Make time and set up in your life times where you just enjoy God. Where we don't have to throw a whole month about it, but you say, you know what? I'm just going to take some time to have fun week. And in my life, today is fun week. So I'm going to dress up today and enjoy God, because I don't need anybody else to tell me to enjoy God. Listen, I want to take a moment. I just want to pray for you. I know this message isn't the faith screaming, God's got your miracle on the way. But I promise you, just try it. Try enjoying God this week. Try just having a little bit more fun. And see what God would do as you celebrate him. Lord, I thank you right now. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord Jesus, Lord, that as we pray, Lord God, that you do hear us. That when we pray, Lord God, it's not empty prayers. It's not prayers that go up and come back down, Lord God. But Lord, you hear our prayers. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can trust who you are. We can trust what you've done, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you right now, Lord God, that you would help us to get outside of our current situation. You would help us to get outside of ourselves, Lord God. But before we do any of that, Lord, we want to celebrate you. Lord, I thank you right now, Lord Jesus, that you're sending a peace that protects and guards our hearts and our mind. you're sending a peace, Lord God, in this room, in this church, in these families, Lord God, a peace that settles them, Lord Jesus. People watching online right now, Lord God, a peace that gives them anchors, Lord Jesus, a peace that protects them, Lord God. And all we got to do is celebrate you. So right now, Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for how you've provided for us. Thank you for how you've gotten us this far. Lord, and I thank you. The fact that we're still here means you're not done. The fact that we're still here means you've got more for us, Lord God. The fact that we're still here means you have a plan and a purpose, Lord Jesus. The fact that we're still here means that there's people that our lives are going to touch, Lord God. The fact that we're still here means that you have a plan and purpose, Lord God. And so we say we're going to enjoy it. We're going to enjoy it all. The ups, the downs, the ins and outs. We're going to enjoy you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that as we choose to enjoy you, Lord God, that our lives would become an example, Lord, that people could look at. And it wouldn't be of what we do or who we are, all our good deeds, Lord Jesus, but it's all because of you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, there are some of you in this room and it's hard for you to enjoy the life that you have right now. It's hard for you to enjoy the situation, or maybe it's hard for you to have peace or even think about God giving you a peace, because maybe you say, well, I don't even know if I know God. Or maybe I did at one point, or I had a relationship with him, but it seems like either I've walked away or he's just not near, or I've been looking for peace and I can't find it. Maybe you've been looking for peace in a certain person or in a job, and what you found is all those things, they just keep moving. Can I tell you what you've been looking for is a relationship with Jesus? Before you can choose to celebrate God, you have to acknowledge God. You have to acknowledge what he's done in your life. And what you need to know is John 3:16. It says, God so loved the world. What you may not know about this is that word that he uses for world, it also means, it says all inclusive, but it's also specific. Meaning that God so loved you. With all your hurt, with all your pain, with all your mistakes, God so loved you that he sent his only son. There's some of you that are in here right now, and this is the reason you're here, is to stop trying to do life on your own. Stop trying to do it by yourself. It's here to surrender and say yes to Jesus. And the moment you do, it says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Here's what we're going to do. There are some of you in right here right now that what you're looking for is a relationship with Jesus, and all you have to do is accept him. You don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to do a bunch of good things. You just got to say yes and surrender to him. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to count to three. And if you say, you know what? I want a relationship with Jesus. I want to experience his joy. I want to experience his grace. I want him to be with me. I just want you to lift your hand on the count of three. Don't worry about what people will think. Don't worry about getting yourself right. All you have to do is accept him. And in a moment, you'll experience his grace. One, he loves you so much. Two, he's so proud of you and he just wants relationship with you. Three, lift your hand right now if you say, I want to accept Jesus. I got you here in the front row. I see you in the back right here on the front. I got you in the back. So proud of you. I see you, man. So proud of you. I got you. I see you, buddy. Listen, we're a family and nobody prays alone. I want everybody to repeat this prayer after me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Dear Jesus, thank you for laying down your life to save mine. I admit I've made mistakes. Save me, change me, transform me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Transformation Church, can we celebrate? Oh, come on, can we celebrate what God is doing? Come on.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or our website at transformchurch.us/give. And don't forget to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this one. Now go and live a transformed life.